Welcome to Shenanigans. Hey, hey, it's Aisha.
Hey, it's Jenny.
Yo, baby, what's up? It's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be. Featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Oh, how have y'all been?
Oh my gosh.
You know.
Busy.
Yes.
Life happens.
How's 2020 treating you so far?
You mean 2019 2.0?
Man, bruh.
Because that's January was.
I mean, February is questionable too. I mean, it might be like 2019.
No.
February has been a little. It's been
February
better.
Has been better for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that January felt like 2 years.
That thing was rough.
Yeah.
It was long.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, yeah.
It was just a lot.
I'm dealing with the same shit from last year. I don't understand.
That's not why we haven't been around. Like, we had some technology issues that we had to figure out.
Some unexpected ones.
Just stupid things that we had no control over. So, know that we did not disappear on purpose.
Right.
Or take this long to come back on purpose.
No, not at all.
So, we hope to stay consistent, like we said before.
That's our goal.
We're going to stick to it. So, we're back.
We here.
We are back, and we actually this week just launched a new campaign. So we're super excited about it. It'll go from now through like the first half of March, and it's called Black and Woman. And it's just all about exactly what it says, what it's like to be Black and what it's like to be a woman and everything in between, like just how the world kind of perceives us and tries to interpret us or change us or, you know, make us out to be things that we aren't, but also tries to put us in a box and give us life and scenarios and situations and things that we don't deserve at the same time. So we're going to be tapping into that over the next 4 weeks.
Yep.
And we're just really, really excited about it. So if you do not follow us already, definitely get plugged in at Strength of She on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, for that matter. And if you've never been to our blog or didn't even know we had a blog, hey, we're Shenanigans, but we're also the Strength of She. So check out thestrengthofshe.com. We'll be uploading new content over the next few weeks, and you do not want to miss it, as well as some freebies. So.
Yes.
Definitely check those out. So that's my commercial for the day.
But I like that. That was nice. That was nice. All right. We're just going to hop right into our episode.
Hop right in.
The icebreaker for this week. If somebody put a gun to your head and they told you to rap a song from word to word, bar for bar.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get it perfectly.
Mm.
What song would you rap?
Well, you know, not too long ago, I used to be a rapper, so it would probably be one of my songs.
Oh, okay, I didn't know this.
Didn't know this at all.
Oh, yeah.
What was your rap name?
J Money.
Oh.
Really?
Okay, I'm just playing. So, the song that I would rap would be Drake,
of course.
And it would be Worst Behavior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be going in on my song.
Your rap name should be Yennefer.
Yennefer. It really should.
Be Yennefer.
Bro, I'm about to make you a shirt and it's gonna say Yennefer.
Oh my goodness.
It really is.
Aisha, what song would you rap?
Oh my gosh. You know what? The Box, for sure. The windshield wipers. I know that shit. Front.
The what?
The Box.
What is that?
What?
The Box.
The Box. You don't know the box. You know the box.
I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put a stick in the box.
Who is it by?
Roddy Ricch.
Is it an older song?
No.
Wait.
Then when did it come out? Like, I'm
it's out now. It's like number one.
It's like the number one song.
How do you hear it? Like on the radio? Does it come out on the radio?
Is this a joke? No, I'm about to play it right now. We're gonna get pulled like, off what? For fucking copyright.
Just for a little bit. Just gonna play just a little bit. Jenny, how have you never heard this
Jenny,
song?
Is this a joke?
When did it come out?
Like very beginning of the year or very end of last year?
Yeah.
I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put the stick in the box.
It sounds like a good song, but I have not heard the song before.
Jenny, you've never heard that song.
Like,
okay,
how did y'all hear it?
This decade.
It's been playing everywhere.
Like
the radio.
Where have you been?
I don't listen to the radio.
The club. I don't either.
I haven't been to the bar in 2020.
Okay, Jenny, how do you hear new music? I'm not sure, sister. On Instagram, you don't be on there.
No, oh my, stop.
TikTok, you don't be on there.
Listen, I hear new music.
How?
Just out.
You don't go
from
out.
From other people, I mean, on TV, you know. I mean, I have Spotify through there.
It should have come on your Spotify, unless you only listen to R&B.
No.
Okay, or Bricks. You know Bricks? Bricks.
Oh, white bricks. Yeah, I know that song.
And Bricks. I can sing that whole song. Okay.
Yeah, I know that song.
Gosh, dog. Jenny.
I'm sorry, I heard it.
Y'all talk about me.
No, it's different. This song is new.
Exactly why you should know.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's different.
Jenny, you're embarrassing me.
It's different. Like, where I haven't been nowhere to hear this song.
You don't got to be anywhere to hear this song.
Oh,
that's the thing.
My,
I don't listen to the radio.
God. I don't listen to the radio either.
When I'm in my vehicle, I listen to my playlist.
Well, add it.
It's not added.
We'll add it to your playlist,
buddy.
Because you need to listen to it. It is quality music. I mean, stream the box. Keep him number one. Okay. Because Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez was crying that they was not number one.
Literally crying on Twitter.
Because of the box. So stream
talking
the
about,
box.
Please go stream my song. Please go stream my album. It's so important to me. And I mean, it's just really special. I mean, she made like 3 tweets this.
And a video. Like we.
Girl.
I'm going to listen to it when I leave.
Please, that's your homework.
It's your only homework.
And then come back and say the lyrics.
Oh, man. It's funny because I like all kind of music. I like rap music. I don't know why I haven't heard it.
Okay, so my song, I got 2, but one of them is Big Papa by Biggie. I could sing that song in my sleep.
Yep.
Front to back.
Yep.
Also Crush on You by Lil Kim featuring Lil C's. I know all those words too. So I think I would be good.
That's a gem.
And probably Nicki Minaj, Itty Bitty Piggy, because I definitely know that one too.
My goodness.
Especially when it comes on at the club. I'll be getting it. All right. So, friends that are listening, if you had a gun to your head and somebody asked you to rap a song word for word, you couldn't get it wrong, what song would you pick? You can add us at shenanigans_pod. On Twitter and on Instagram. We like to hear from y'all. We like when y'all talk to us or whatever.
Or whatever.
So, yeah, let's hop right into our hot topic.
Yes.
So, just keeping the spirit of our campaign going, we're celebrating our blackness.
Yes.
And our womanhood and our black womanhood all together. Because, you know, them separately is a lot of totally different entities. And then, you know, put it all together. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So, let's kick this thing off. So, when did y'all first realize that y'all were black? Ooh. That you can remember?
I was very young when I realized it because I grew up in a home with a white person. So I knew that,
Oh.
Yeah, my grandmother, she dated this white man for a long time. So
I learned something about you every episode.
Yeah,
I called
you. You see my pawpaw face. I was like, oh, did I miss this?
I wanted to make sure that I haven't been listening or something.
Yeah. So okay. I mean, I think I knew very early on, and I knew that because of, you know, like my mother wasn't really that fond of him, and so she made it clear that, you know, he's a white person, you know, you shouldn't like trust white people. So I think that, I mean, and I'm sure that we'll probably get into some other stuff like throughout the episode and just throughout the campaign.
Yeah.
But just like my perspective on race and, you know, being a black person and what, you know, white people mean to me in my personal experiences, will be, I don't know, I guess interesting to kind of dive into. So yeah, so I was very young. I mean, probably four.
Yeah. I went to like an all black school at first, and then my mom gave me, of course, all black dolls, and she emphasized that I couldn't have no white dolls. And I got black books with black authors, and
that was real black.
We was black, like. Everything was blacky black, black, black in my house. She had black figurines, and which my whole family had like the black figurine thing going. Yeah. But yeah, I always knew I was black. I feel like for as long as I could remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember like a specific time of discovering when I was. I don't remember us ever having a conversation about being black.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and I was very fair skinned, and so like I just thought everybody just in general life looked different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that I ever drew a context, so I don't know when the discovery necessarily was. But I had my aunt Jamila was very Afrocentric, and like, she had renamed herself. Her name was Sashmi Shmiant. And I don't even know how. She had, like, renamed herself.
Okay.
She used to wear, like, African attire all the time. And just everything. And I had a baby doll. And she was very fair, in my mind, a fair-skinned baby doll. She was white. And so I used to take this baby everywhere, this little raggedy baby. Mm-hmm. And so we were at Thanksgiving or something, and she's like, Niecy Poo, why do you have this white baby? And I was like, Auntie, she's not white. She's light-skinned, like me. And she's like, she's white. And I'm like, well, am I white? Like, because we're the same color.
Yeah.
So she's like, and the next holiday, she got me an African baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, and I mean, the baby was darker than Jenny. And so for me, it
she
was
made
like,
sure that baby
she
was made black.
Sure the baby was black. And I was like, but this baby doesn't look like me either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's when not just... I knew I was black at that point, but I was very confused about what being black meant and looked like.
Yeah.
Just like based on color and like, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when I grew up, because when did you realize like your color? Because like being black is one thing, but then like your color.
What color
is,
I am.
Yeah. It's totally different. I don't know if I ever really realized it because my mom is super light skinned and my dad is super dark skinned. And so I always grew up, you know, like with that. And I'm literally the middle shade of both of them.
Yeah.
And so I never really dealt with light skin issues or dark skin issues because I'm just in the middle.
In the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're brown, as y'all like to tell me.
I am brown.
What am I, Tyra?
You're brown.
Oh, don't laugh at shenanigans because you told me I wasn't brown.
I didn't say that. We're very close in color.
Okay, sis.
I never said that.
So
you maybe just be having a brown day today because sometimes you be looking. You peanut butter. I say that to you. You're like peanut butter. I've said that.
But y'all both
we're very similar.
Yeah, very,
yeah.
Like almost.
And
like
I do
back.
Have pale days.
Yeah.
I have pale days. Keisha likes to let me know I'm not brown all the time. Like, she corrects me on my emojis.
Like mocha?
Like brown.
I mean, you're brown.
We had this whole argument about me not being brown.
But see, I know, and it depends on which friends I ask.
No, you're not. You're like light brown.
And that's what I say. And yeah, she's like, no, brown. There's no such thing.
Yeah, you're
and
light I'm like, brown.
No, there definitely is a light brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that I ever noticed my color. Probably because, I mean, I don't know that I ever focused on it.
Right.
Because I had, I mean, my childhood best friends were, one was Jenny's color, maybe a little darker than Jenny. Other one was a little white boy from down the street. Mm-hmm. Like, and so for me, it was just, we were all different shaded people.
Right.
I don't think I ever drew the whole black context.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. Everybody in my family is different colors. So I don't know if I really ever.
No, I feel the same way. Like, I feel like there was never an actual, like, distinction of, oh, well, that person is this color and I'm this color. Like, mm-hmm, I mean, I knew. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I have a sister that's, like, light skinned. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, other than her, like, the rest of my immediate family were about the same color. I mean, some may be like light brown, but like all the schools that I went to growing up, it was like, I mean, I was the minority. Like, I was always the minority in my class. I was in a class full of white people, and it was probably like me and another black boy in a class. So it was like either it was just black or white. It was never like different shades of blackness.
Gotcha.
So yeah. I never really, I don't know. Like I said, drew the distinction of, oh, well, black people, and there's different colors of black people.
Yeah.
Always either it was white or black people.
Yeah. So, my elementary school was black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember many white students at my elementary school. Like, there may have been two.
Hmm.
Like, that's how black it was. All our teachers were black. There were probably, I had two white teachers, one in fourth grade and one in first, and that was it. And so it was like I saw different shades of black all the time, so to me it was like everybody looks like this because everybody around me is like this.
My teachers were white, but everybody I went to school with was black. And then when I switched schools, it was like mixed, and I was like, what's going on here? But some new shit.
Some new shit. Yeah,
coming out with new people, new releases. I didn't know because everything was black for me, but you know, I don't know. I feel like society reminds us of our color more than we remind ourselves.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Because I don't think anything of it, like, or other people's for that matter.
But then I feel like, and I don't know if you were going to go to this, but I feel like almost me and Jenny, we talked about this the other night, and y'all know the running joke because Aisha don't watch black movies. Like, and Aisha ain't never seen none of the staple black movies and blah, blah, blah. But that's because, I mean, like, one of my mom's favorite movies is You've Got Mail. Like, that's just how we just grew up and we watched everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and there was a lot of black things I wasn't allowed to watch because she didn't feel like it was appropriate.
Yeah.
So then as I started to transition into different types of schools and where I went to a performing arts school where the kids are a little different, where we're a little bit more preppy and we listened to, damn, what was them groups called? Like Green Day, although, you know,
most people
listen to them, or like Evanescence.
Evanescence.
So we were very alternative, whereas my sister was Bone Thugs and Harmony, A Ball and MJG. She's like, what the hell is this you're listening to? And so I think it started to not, for me, it became like a cultural disconnect. Really around that time, because it was like, okay, I'm light and people already don't consider me very black when they talk to me and look at me from that lens. Now I got this other thing going on. I think that that just made me real kind of confused about my blackness real young.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how did that make you feel? Like,
like I wasn't black enough.
I think a lot of people struggle with that. Like,
yeah, that was just not black enough. But then it was weird to, I think I started to rediscovering it as I went into like high school, you know, when I start to listen to things, you know, listen to my own type of music, you know, without my parents and blah, 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 and start watching more things. And, but to go from that to Butler, where it was the complete opposite, where it was pretty much all white and we had 30 or 60 black students or whatever out of thousands. Then I didn't feel, then I felt too black.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Whereas my whole life I didn't feel black enough, and now I'm being called ghetto and I'm like, but I'm not.
Right.
So I've probably been confused my whole fucking life until I graduated with all that.
Yeah. What about you, Jenny?
I feel like I'm in the same boat almost. And honestly, like, it's crazy, but when we were talking in about this campaign, I think I had an epiphany, like, do I fucking know what it means to be black? Like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I'm and the thing is, it's like, you know, like, I grew up, you know, being around, you know, white people, and going to, like, when I was in elementary, being in schools or being in classes with majority white people, and then when I did start going to, like, schools with a lot of black people, I would get, like, kind of talked about, or, like, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say bullied, but shown some type of treatment by other black people, because like, they would say, oh, well, you're a teacher's pet, or da 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 da, because I wasn't, like, acting like they were, like, I wasn't being bad, and I wasn't doing this. And so it's like, at that point, then it's like, well, I mean, I'm black too, so what does that mean? You know, like, I don't know how to act, because I'm, I mean, I thought that, you know, when you're in school, you're supposed to behave, but then I'm, you know, I'm getting talked about because I am. So I guess I never really knew. And then also just growing up, like, I kind of explained, like, with my mom, like, she never really talked about, like, what it means to be black, or we never really talked about, like, the black culture. I just knew that white people, well, I never took it out on white people, but she, like, she gave a message of, like, white people are bad, like, you shouldn't, like, you shouldn't trust them and stuff like that. And so that's really all, like, the like, that's the only thing that she really differentiated. Like, she didn't talk about everything that black people are, I mean, black people and stuff like that. So it's like, everything that I kind of knew or learned, it was through just, like, watching people, and then, like, some of the stuff that I learned in school. But I mean, we know how that goes. You don't really truly learn about, you know, the black culture and history. So I mean, when I think back about it, I mean, I think that I was confused most of my life.
And y'all probably, did y'all have, like, Black History Month stuff at y'all school?
Honestly, I don't even remember. Like, I mean, I, and at that point, I mean, I guess we probably did, but it probably wasn't a lot, because I don't really remember. It wasn't, it's not, I don't really remember.
It was probably slavery, Rosa Parks,
And Martin Luther King. And that's I know, you know what, I remember Martin Luther King, and that's really it.
Yeah. That's what me and Keisha were talking about that the other day, just because so much falls on, like, teachers and administration to make a point to plan for that type of celebrations and stuff, and to acknowledge it. And if they don't, then the kids just won't have that experience. But we used to have all kind of stuff, like plays and musicals, but, you know, like, musical selections, and or even if we had Christmas programming. Like, I was in, like, we had to play reindeer or some shit. This was in elementary school. Had to play reindeer, and we did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But we did The Temptations. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, we would still do, like, traditional holiday things, but we pulled through black culture in other ways. I just don't think that, like, it was talked of, it wasn't identified as this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that that's probably the only reason I wasn't making the connection. It was like, I was living in the culture. We just weren't talking about it, because I think adults just assume that the students and the kids mm-hmm. understood mm-hmm. and were already making those connections on their own, or mm-hmm. they were already being taught at home. And I don't think that that's the case for everybody.
No, it's yeah. not.
Yeah.
It's not. So how has the natural hair movement and Black Girls Magic Ooh. And like Black Girls Rock, how has it, I guess, increased your confidence for, you know, being a Black woman and reminding you of your Blackness?
Well, I think like the natural hair like movement, I feel like with that, I feel like when it first became real prominent, or people start talking about natural hair, like I guess I kind of felt more confident to become natural.
Yeah.
And I never, like, before being natural, wasn't like, oh well, I need to straighten my hair because, you know, like it's too thick or anything like that. But just growing up, like I would always, we would do perms, you know,
right?
Because you didn't want like your edges to be thick. But it wasn't because like, oh well, I want to look like, I want my hair to look like a white person's hair. It right. was because I just didn't want to have to deal with the thick, you know, mm-hmm. edges or whatever, or the thickness. And I was never really taught how to like manage it or what that would look like outside of, you know, having a perm. So I think that I was able to just gain more confidence and being more comfortable with like wearing my natural hair. But all like, as all of these kind of came about, like, I still really never made that connection.
Yeah.
You know, it just, like, I don't know, it just happened.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, so when I went, so I grew up having this connotation that I had bad hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because me and my mom have different types of hair. Actually, it's a lot more similar than she probably thinks now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it's more coarse, it's more thick, and my mom doesn't know how to do hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get it like braided all the time by other people. Mm-hmm. But I just had this connotation that my hair was bad and mm-hmm. I couldn't go without a relaxer and all this stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so when I went natural, I saw other people who were natural, but the problem was I didn't realize that my hair was still not like that.
Mm.
I was still seeing people with like very prominent curls mm-hmm. and coils mm-hmm. and my hair doesn't, is more coarse than that.
Yeah.
And it's more like wavy than it is curly. So I still didn't really know what I was doing, but I still felt motivated to like wear my hair because yeah. I wanted mm-hmm. it to be big and dramatic and everything like that. And then I did that and I was like, yeah, none of this is working. I can just put it in a puff. So I'm going to lock it. And mm-hmm. that's how I got locks. But, also like I try not to think negative about like me having that negative connotation, because now we have so many more products mm-hmm. and, you know, more technology and YouTube tutorials and stuff like that, that will help us with our hair. So I try not to like, you know, think negatively about my mom because she yeah. put that in my head. And yeah. that was just society like at that time. Like, yeah. you know, we didn't know how to fix our hair. Mm-hmm. There was no products for us. There was nothing, no tools or anything like that for us. But I definitely think it helped my confidence as far as my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it just feels good to see like Black Girl Magic, like the actual movement itself. And I like Black Girls Rock. I didn't know it had been out for as long as it had been out
mm-hmm.
for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just another good space mm-hmm. for us as Black women to just celebrate ourselves. And, you know, you look in the room and you see all these beautiful Black people and stuff like yeah. that. So
I was just going to say, I think with some of the other things that you mentioned for me, you know, over the few years I've been able to be more confident, because like growing up, like I didn't see, you know, like I saw Black women, but it was like always like a struggle living in poverty mm-hmm. and, you know, like right. real, like just, you know, just poor people. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, me associating myself with that and like kind of feeling like, oh, well, you know, it's going to be so hard for me to, like, you know, become who I want to be. Like, is it even possible? And, like, just question myself, like, will I ever be able to do it? Because growing up, I didn't see other, you know, successful, educated Black people or Black women. And I think, like, just seeing, like, you know, women operate in that kind of space and knowing that there's other people out there that are doing some of the things that I would want to do and being the people that I would, you know, being women that I would probably want to, you know, become, I think it helped me, or has helped me kind of know, like, okay, well, you know, there's another life that I can live. And I mean, just because I didn't grow up seeing that, you know, I see it now and I can kind of decide, like, how I want to move.
Yeah. I think that you make a good point with that, because I think a lot of people who are Black, who may not feel Black enough depending on their, like, childhood, especially because with Black people we have, like, this struggle narrative mm-hmm. attached to us mm-hmm. and people kind of glorify growing up in a struggle, and everybody does not grow up like that,
right.
And so
and that can easily get connected,
or people feel like you aren't Black enough because, you know, you may have grew up in an affluent home where you mm-hmm. just may have had a better childhood,
and your parents are educated mm-hmm.
and they're together and all this stuff like that. And so I think having, especially with social media and stuff, having these images of Black women in these different spaces and platforms is so good for us, because, you know, everybody is not the same with that struggle mm-hmm. narrative, which I love, you know, as a whole, our culture come from adversity and resilience. Mm-hmm. I love that whole narrative too. But I think there's so many sides to being Black.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes people get lost in the shuffle, like mm-hmm. people who are into anime or, mm-hmm. you know, other mm-hmm. things sure. like that. Yeah. You know, I think they get lost because of that. You just see this one. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Idea of what a Black person looks like.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I'll go back to the hair in a minute, but I think that, there becomes a very strong connection between your personal interests and likes.
Yeah.
And then being Black.
Yeah.
You can be Black and have different things that Absolutely. You like. You know what I'm Absolutely. Saying? Like you just said with anime, it made me think about, like, country music and just all of that. Like, those are just, that's how diverse we are, because we can pick up any, you know, anything and love it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make us any less Black at the same time. The I think Black culture has just been stereotyped so much to look like one thing, where it really grabs from, it's our history that is what Black culture is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's like, that's kind of like the foundation of who we are. But right, I mean, as we grow and as, you know, the world changes and people evolve, like, there's different layers that are added, you know, on.
Yeah.
And I think so much of it is who is controlling what we see mm-hmm. about ourselves mm-hmm. and trying to get some of that back, because, you know, we created a whole bunch of shit, like music, like we were the first to do rock and roll,
I was about to say.
Country, all that. So, you know, I think that people forget that, and then, you know, or our history, they try to take it away from us mm-hmm. or try to whitewash it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people, you know, forget that we are more than just, like, hip hop and, you know, R&B, which are amazing things. But we have other parts to us that we have created as mm-hmm. well mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for sure,
and we dope in that shit too, so
right what were you gonna say about
hair? You know, I was perm shoddy.
Yes, you were. And, like, you were not going natural.
I was not going natural. Like, I used to get perms every month. There was a point in time I got perms every 2 weeks.
Ain't she crazy?
I'm shocked. It wasn't even my doing. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom used to do my relaxers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to do them every 2 weeks. And it wouldn't just be on my edges. It would be my whole head.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would finally go to a beautician, she'd be like, "Who's doing your relaxers?" And I'm like, "My mother." And she's like, "Can you please tell her to stop? Like, because your hair doesn't mm-hmm. even need it."
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, I don't know what that means.
Right.
Because all I know is, like what you said, Well, my mom talks about, oh, your hair can't be nappy. Mm-hmm. And so this one girl, she used to wear her hair straight all the time. And she was mixed, but still. She was Hispanic and black. But she went to our school. And I remember she came with this big curly hair one day. And I was like, oh, my God, what did you do to your hair? I want my hair like that. She's like, I just stopped getting relaxers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And it does that? And so I went home and told my mom, like, I don't want to relax her anymore. This girl has pretty curly hair. Like, I want my hair to do that. She's like, your hair will never do that. Mm. Your hair is nappy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, I'm positive. So in my mind, my hair was nappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my hair would never do that. Yeah. Like, and so it wasn't until I big chopped my hair senior year, like graduation from college, that I saw my real natural hair and understood texture and you know, diversity in hair and just everything, coarseness and porosity, and just learned all those things. And to your, like you said, you know, we can't blame our moms for what they thought, because it's just what they taught, and that's just how they grew up. And it was just so much. I mean, think about how much has come into the natural hair market from education and products and everything, even in the last 10 years.
Yep.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, we didn't even have all these resources when we, like, when you went natural, when I went natural. Like, YouTube wasn't even booming like that with tutorials and stuff like that. We was just trying to figure it out.
Yep,
and
I was just in the bathroom with some scissors. Like, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. So I've loved just seeing that progress and being able to see just I love everybody's hair. Like, Curry's hair.
Yeah.
Hers is beautiful. Gorgeous.
I know. And there's people who, even people who have, like, you know, and I'm not really a hair type person, but, you know, 4C hair. Mm-hmm. The things that they can do with their hair.
Oh, my gosh.
And when they blow it out, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Like, and the different styles. Yeah. And that's just hair. That's the point. That's just hair.
Right.
Like, think about all the other things. Like, we're so diverse with just hair. Like, we haven't even gotten into, you know, our style and how we're trendsetters, and everybody be trying to bite off us, and can't ever duplicate the shit. Just be getting it wrong. But when we do it, it's ghetto. But when they do it, it's innovative.
And creative. It's high fashion.
Oh yes, on the cover of Vogue. But it's just, I just love that about us and all the things that we are and that we do. And even with, like, Black Lives Matter, which is a more you know, serious topic, I think that it's just so funny to me how people who are not white, I mean, people who are not black, how they just try to twist every, y'all don't want to, us to be a part of what y'all got going on, but then y'all don't want to be excluded. Like, we, when we say Black Lives Matter, it don't mean that don't nobody else matter. We just highlighting ours, because we know that we don't matter to y'all. We gotta matter to somebody.
We literally have a new committee at work around inclusiveness. Like, I think the committee is literally called Inclusive or something. Like,
Ooh, way to be original.
Something like that. But it's because other individuals complain that within us trying to be inclusive of everyone, that they did not feel included. So trying to ensure that everyone feels included in inclusiveness, and I'm like, that just goes back to the fucking point that was the whole
point to begin with
that
yes,
you have always been included. Like, I get it. And I get how when we have, like, major projects or, like, major initiatives that are really pushing diversity, or black people or Hispanics or LGBT community or whatever, like, I get how that can feel isolating, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent. But it's like, think about if that never was. You've always been included.
All the time. You don't have to think about it.
You don't have to think about it.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
We do, though.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I kind of rolled my eyes when they were rolling that out, because I'm like, oh, okay, now we need to include you in some shit you've never been excluded from.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't, what's wrong with y'all? I don't understand.
Everything.
What's wrong with them?
And to talk about that during Black History Month, like, I was like, oh, okay, this is great timing.
Speaking of, or Jenny, did you want to add a point? Okay. Speaking of, what does it mean to be unapologetically Black to y'all?
Great question. I mean, I do this thing at work where I've just learned to be my true self. Like, pretty much what y'all see is what the hell they see.
Right.
Like, I curse at work, everything. Same. Like, I am 1,000% me. I'm just a little bit more professional about it.
Yeah.
And so when, like, we have some, like, Simone and some other people that work with me or whatever, and they've come and found me because they work in areas that, I mean, most of our areas don't have a lot of Black, other Black people. And so, if you've never been in a company where you don't have a lot of diversity, you start to question, like, who you should be at work, and do you have to code switch? And so we've had very in-depth conversations about code switching. I'm like, I did it to a certain extent earlier in my career, but then I learned it's not about code switching. It's not about trying to be something I'm not at work. It's about being my professional self. I'm going to be me.
And just be respectful.
I'm just going to be professional and respectful. But, like, you're going to get who I am. Like, there are times where I even talk in, like, very relaxed vernacular. And they're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, oh, it means da-da-da-da-da. And they're like, oh, okay. Because you talk to me the same way. Well,
exactly. Right.
Like, if you're from the South, you use your, you know, different lingos and verbiage and whatever slang or however you want to call it. You use that with me, and I'm just supposed to understand, or I'm supposed to ask to get it. But that's you bringing your full self. So, I don't know. That's just, for me, being unapologetic is I'm going to bring my full self in every space. I'm just going to adjust it for appropriateness.
I'm the same way. I think it's being yourself and not trying to hide the fact that you're Black. Like, we all know that I'm Black. You're looking at me, you know? And it doesn't have to be a big thing, or it doesn't have to be a sensitive subject that I remind you that I am Black. So if you want to talk about my hair, okay, we're gonna talk about it.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you why your hair cannot do this. We're gonna talk about it. Or this and that or whatever. Like, there was this one incident or something that happened where somebody had asked me about hot water and dipping your braids because there was like a situation that had happened, and so they were really trying to figure out like, and I knew they was genuinely wanting to know, so I had to explain that to them. And then there was this one day at work where my old job, there was like more Black people there. We were trying to prove a point that Black culture was different. And so we kept asking all the white people, what does eat the cake anime mean? Like, do you know who anime is? We would ask them that.
Oh, my.
And none of the white people got it right. Because they all wanted to say bye Felicia. But they don't know that Felicia was a crackhead.
Right.
So where do they think it came from?
I don't know.
I mean, people said, like, on social media and stuff, like, is that where they thought that it originated from? Or
just appropriating, but, like, they always do, trying to be in. And
I'm good for calling out. I'm trying to think how I want to say this. My issue with my white team, not even my white team I got right now, all of my white teams I've had, is that they talk about stuff like everybody just know they shit.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm going to see such and so in concert this weekend.
Oh, yeah, they do that at my job, too.
They going to sing this and that, and I'm like,
you're going to go see Luke Bryan? Now you know.
Who's that, sis? And they're like, you don't know who that is?
No.
I actually don't. But then when Nipsey Hussle got killed, you want to come and ask, oh, yeah, some rap guy got killed this weekend. I don't know who he was, and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, so it's okay for you not to know.
No, exactly. Right.
But when I don't know, it's, oh, what? You sure? And So I'm good for correcting that.
Absolutely.
Like, even with, like, foods and shit. Like, I'm going to tell this one story, and I'm going to be quick. We have, all these favorite things. We have, like, a favorite things list for our team. So when people birthday, we know what they like.
Mm-hmm.
And so this girl loves Chex Mix. Mm-hmm. And so I was, and it's, there could be like snacks or restaurants or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm like, we were all getting all her favorite snacks. And I said, well, I'll pick up the Chex Mix and da, da, da. And so this other teammate was like, oh, I have my auntie's recipe and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what, sis? You got
a recipe for Chex Mix?
And I said, oh, you take it then. Because mm-hmm. I immediately realized this is some cultural shit I'm not in on.
Yeah.
Right. So she was like, oh no, you can do it. You have a recipe.
Yeah, I'm not making it.
Right. You go ahead. And so when my boss came back, I said, you know, I think so. I just want to call out a cultural thing. And she's like, okay. I said, Black people don't make Chex Mix. So help me understand what y'all do to Chex Mix. And she's like, what do you mean y'all don't make Chex Mix? I said, we go pick up the Chex Mix. In mm-hmm. the back. It says Chex Mix on yeah. it. We buy it from the store. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh no, like we like mix it up with butter and you add things and add spices and then you bake it.
Oh, I've had it before, but I've never made it. Like it wouldn't be something that I would like make and take somewhere. Like I've had it like at places for holidays. Like it just seems like it's something that's like,
it's like puppy chow.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I had then. This is something else.
This is something different.
Oh, okay.
Puppy chow is puppy chow. Okay. This Chex Mix shit, that's something different.
Never heard of it.
They make sweet and spicy or just spicy.
Oh, never mind. I don't know about that one.
And I was like, oh yeah, Black folk, we don't do that. Mm-mm. And they was like, so what do y'all take to parties?
Food. Real food.
I was like, y'all are taking snacks. If we I took meals. A snack, somebody be like, sis, okay, cool. Did you bring like some pop too? Or
some cups? Did you get the ice? We don't never remember ice.
We ain't never got
so
ice.
So you in the clear if you brought the ice.
Yeah. But I said, we don't take casseroles and we definitely don't take Chex Mix. Like we cook.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh.
Yeah, for whole parties. Uh-huh. Same. It's a lot of, and there is nothing wrong with having these exchanges at work.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be a thing.
It doesn't have to be a thing.
It could just be a conversation because we all know that I'm Black. We all know that you're not Black.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
So there are differences, and it is okay if we talk about it. Just don't get disrespectful.
Right.
Because then I'm going to get disrespectful.
Right. Because I even had to catch myself. There's been a few times where I'd be like, Black folks don't do that. And I'm like, but I don't want you to say that.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't want you to generalize.
Yes.
Because you may meet a Black person who does. Yes. And I'm just like, I just don't. None of my people do.
Yeah.
But so I try to be careful with that. But I'm good for calling out. I'm Black. I'm Black. I don't.
And I think, right. And I think with being unapologetically Black, it is like, I am going to be myself because mm-hmm. this is just who I am. And I have to be okay that you are going to be uncomfortable with mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like this going to make you uncomfortable because, you know, y'all want to act like color is the elephant in the room. And it's really not. Like, we really can have a conversation about it. It doesn't have to be this taboo thing. And so I was able to not necessarily hide my Blackness, mm-hmm. but I just didn't talk to people at work mm-hmm. for a long time because I switched mm-hmm. jobs. Mm-hmm. But I've been at this last job for 4 years and I can't hide who I am for that long.
Because when you mad, when I'm mad and irritated, that's probably really when mad come out. Mm-hmm. Like I get I said, you know what? That bitch pissing me off. Like I don't know. I just get
relaxed. I get quiet how I always am when I'm mad. I'm quiet. So they know. And they also know very early on that my no's are no's. Just like anywhere else in my life. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I say that. I'm not doing that. I told doctors that. I tell, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not to be lazy, but no, that's not the best thing for my patient or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. No, you can do it. You figure it out. I'm not sticking this baby 10 times. Like, we didn't get it the first time. Figure it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm always myself any other time. Me, like, being self-aware of how Black I am and purposefully slapping people with my Blackness has always been my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't hide that at work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, I feel like depending on where you work can also, I feel like for me sometimes determine like how open or relaxed that I am. Mm-hmm. But I work in an environment where, you know, like I'm pretty open and everybody's open about, you know, black, white, like it's just mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know, it's just a different environment. And so I feel like I never really had to like defend my blackness.
Yeah.
But at this, because I feel like, I mean, working, you know, in the social work field, you kind of have to be able to understand different cultures, right. and being able to, you know, work with like everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, you know, like we joke and we have different conversations about like, oh, well, you know, I don't eat that, or we don't do, you know, like, yeah. but it's like, you know, nobody gets offended and anything like that. So sometimes I think about like, you know, whenever I do leave this job, or if I leave it and I am in an environment when it's, where it's not like this, like how will I be able to, like, would I be able to just be, you know, unapologetically myself or mm-hmm. black? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think about that, but I think that, like you said, it's not that you are not who you are, you're just mm-hmm. professional right, about it. And course. I think that's what, like, I am.
You know what I just thought about, Jenny, while you were talking? You said that you realized that you were black, or like you identified that really like 3, 4 mm-hmm. and it was because of the conversations you were having, and but you grew up like in a different type of environment.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, I'm thinking about my son.
Yeah.
And like how he goes to a very Caucasian mm-hmm. Asian Indian, like it's diverse in that way, but there's literally 2 black babies and they happen to be in his class. So yeah. But he isn't around a lot of, you know, black people there. And how I even tell him at 1, you're black
mm-hmm.
and your mama is black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if like that's taught more when you're in that type of environment. Like that has to be reaffirmed more.
It does.
When you don't grow up around mm-hmm. mostly black people.
Yeah.
And it's, so I'm like, maybe that's why we never had the conversation, because it's like, well, duh, you
black. It was exactly.
You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Versus if I was immersed into, you know, a dynamic like he's in right now, oh, maybe, you know, you got to be reminded.
Yeah. Because
there's plenty of black kids at his daycare. They have white parents.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's been identified from like the teachers and stuff like that, like the black teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's like, that's just what I was thinking about when you were talking.
Yeah. Cause I think like once I started to be what we call this, I call myself the speck of pepper in a sea of salt. So when I was in nursing school, I was the only like full black girl in my class of 90.
Yeah.
And then when I got my current nursing job, I was the only black nurse on my floor. And I started my job in 2016.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that getting all of that reassurance at home when I was young,
mm-hmm.
Helped me to be comfortable, or just be okay with being myself. Mm-hmm. It still was uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. I feel like when we talk about hypertension and they say black people got it, if mm-hmm. the whole room looks at me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. weird shit like that. But, and I still like, not necessarily struggle, but it's like, dang, don't nobody look like me up in here. Like,
yeah.
We're my people.
Yeah.
And so, and then I think I really started coming out because I put my homegirl on in my job, mm-hmm. who I've known since like middle school. Yeah. So I think that helped me come
Open
out more. Yeah. But I think that, you have to get it at home, to be more confident in those spaces and mm-hmm. realize, well, this is kind of how life is, especially mm-hmm. in Indiana, mm-hmm. in other places as well, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think my family wasn't scared of white people.
Yeah.
I think that they, not to the end of the spectrum, like Jenny was talking about just white people being bad necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but definitely having motives,
mm-hmm.
like that was taught to me very young, just about white people and their motives and blah blah blah. And so when I ended up going to Butler and had to deal with like racist situations, I think I almost rebelled against that.
Yeah.
And so like I would call my mom and be like, this white girl said da da da. Like my parents are very uncomfortable with identifying white people as white people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know,
yeah.
Like a lot of some black people just don't call them that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so they can call us black, but I can't call them white.
Exactly.
Like what exactly?
So they want you
that?
To call them Caucasian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, and I'm like, but she white.
Mm-hmm. They're white. It's not a racial slur.
Right, right. Yeah. But it was like just weird dynamics, mm-hmm. just weird dynamics between us like that. when it came to race.
You see, I like this. I mean, I think that it's just crazy that I'm like kind of like these things are coming to surface, you know, as me being almost a 28-year-old woman. But I mean, just having this conversation, it just makes me think about how like, you know, growing up, I was told that white people were a certain way. But I feel like now that I think about it, like I like growing up, like I didn't have any negative or bad feelings towards like white people. So mm-hmm. like the things that, you know, I was being told, like that didn't make me apprehensive to like talk to them. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was the fact that, you know, who I was being told this information by, it made me kind of look at black people a certain way because right. like I never experienced any bad issues. So I was wondering like, why am I being told this?
Yeah.
Okay. So it just made me really, and I don't know. I mean, it just made me question who I am. It made me question, you know, what it means to be black. Like, you know,
I think that for me, I don't necessarily remember my family really talking about white people. It was more so like highlighting and uplifting being black. Mm-hmm. And then knowing the history and making that connection with how yeah. white people felt about us. I didn't really have to be told, you know, anything because they would show themselves, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. in lots of situations. So it was like, yep, white people, and they doing what they
know. White people.
Yeah, they just whiten. I don't know.
My gosh.
They just being themselves. Like they showed themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Even with little racial microaggressions mm-hmm. at work and mm-hmm. all that stuff like that. Like, I don't know if I, yeah, like I said, I was necessarily taught anything negative, but I don't think I had to, like I said. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had to. I just knew what was up.
Mm-hmm. You see, I think that if I was told like what I was told, but then I was also like taught, you know, about the black culture and like what it means to be black, and that was like highlighted, then my experience would be a little right. different. But it's like I was being told that, but on the other, you know, spectrum, like it wasn't like uplifting
right
black, like who I am as a black person, like I wasn't mm-hmm. being taught any of that. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, well, I'm kind of just stuck in this weird space of like kind of not really knowing anything mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, yeah. My family, we always have these very heavy conversations about just, yeah, being black. But, and a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people feel like they don't have to do that because you're black. Like, mm-hmm. I got to tell you that you're black. You already know that you're black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, that's cool too.
But I think the only time not the only time. We talked about black people all the time, but I think it was just, we never called it out like that.
Yeah.
The only times I really remember it being called out like that is if it was something bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this black person just went and did X, Y, and Z. Why yeah. they always got to do that, making us look
right.
bad? Or this black person got hurt for, they was pulled over and da-da-da happened mm-hmm. or whatever, whatever. And dang, we can't do nothing right. And being black, you something always going to happen. Like, it was like scenarios like that where it was mm-hmm. called out. And so it was like, well, dang.
Yeah, or if like something, or if something was to happen, somebody would say, oh, I bet it was a black person.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. it's just like, yeah.
Which is so sad. And it's like, I get that systemic oppression, not to get all deep, but like, you know,
yeah.
what we see is quote unquote normal. What has been normal mm-hmm. has been what white people say.
Right.
So we. Right. have gotten that, like, society's what is okay from mm-hmm. white people mm-hmm. so we got, you know, negative self-talk from that because yeah. they done told us
yeah
this is mm-hmm. you know a bad, like you being black is bad and blah blah blah, and you know, and then we tried to integrate ourselves, you know, so we thought that what we had was bad because I mean the conditions were bad, but you know what
yeah.
I mean
yeah.
So I think we just, that has like oppression and racism has made us, you know, negative self-talk mm-hmm. about ourselves instead of flipping it on the other side and embracing who we are. And so I think that a lot of people you know, get that it's always black people or negative self-talk about black people mm-hmm. from that, because it wasn't until, like we said, recently, minus like the civil rights movement, but it wasn't until, like, you know, recently with all these different movements that uplift us that we're seeing different images of
mm-hmm.
us.
Well, even with that, sorry, y'all.
You all right?
I had to open these Sour Patch Kids.
You good?
also have an issue when people always try to find something wrong with black people that we consider iconic.
Do you think it's like a cancel culture thing, or
like, for example, Martin Luther King used to cheat on his wife and da da da. I don't give a shit. Like,
or like with the Kobe thing.
The Kobe thing, yeah. That situation happening, or like I saw it was a news article going around about interview found from years ago where Oprah says she wished she was white. It was just like, really?
Yeah.
Like, can y'all relax?
Just let people be. Like, is all that necessary?
And not that I get every you know, the people are human and they have right. dirty laundry.
Right.
But I always feel like when it comes to like famous or iconic black people, like I said, they try to cancel out everything that they've done with their dirty laundry.
Yeah.
But white people do not get canceled for their shit.
Absolutely
and
not.
And so mm-hmm. like I find it's that just, very that's very problematic for
yes.
me. And like people are like, I can't believe you listen to Michael Jackson still. Cause you know he was a molester. Fuck
it.
You. Like, yeah, I listen to Michael Jackson still. Yeah. And I always will. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Stop it.
Just stuff yeah. like that. Or you still watch the Cosby Show? I sure do. Mm-hmm. But you're a woman. Uh-huh. And I grew up watching the Cosby Show and I watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that does not take away from
Heathcliff
is not
situation.
Bill. Yes. Right. I'm like, yeah. I can just separate that shit, but mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know.
No, I mean,
that doesn't take away from the things that they have done
before knowing
of some other stuff.
I think that
I'm not taking away from victims if victims yes. are
right, right.
a part of it, but yeah. it's like,
but we're multiplicity people, like, you know what yeah. I'm saying, like we have different sides and mm-hmm. so we have different layers, and so I can respect this person's art mm-hmm, and
mm-hmm. well, and the thing is,
and still like, I'm not taking away from, like you said, victims or anything.
Me
like
listening
that.
To Michael Jackson if I'm in my room doesn't take away from somebody else's story
yeah. or right.
when it comes to like R. Kelly, like, you know, if people choose to still listen to R. Kelly, like if I'm in my living room listening to him, like, yeah, it might be something personal that I would feel some type of way about, mm-hmm. but it's not, I mean, who knows? Like, no, I mean, those victims, I mean, it's not taken away from their story mm-hmm. and it's not saying that it's less than.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what you were saying, I think that, like, that annoys me so much because it's just like this message that people are sending that nobody's perfect, but it's almost like, oh, well, you know, when people like will say, oh, well, I knew he wasn't going to make it, or I knew they weren't going to be able to do da da da. It's kind of like you're trying to give that message like, oh, well, you know, that's a black person. I knew they weren't going to be able to, you know, have this like clear path. But it's like we're
right,
people. We're all
right.
human. And like, why yeah. try to like highlight the negative things where they have like all these like things that they've done well,
right?
Just like with the media, when black people die and it's like some horrific incident, why we always gotta bring up their mugshot or mm-hmm. shit that they must have mm-hmm. did in the past, but we do not do the same thing for white people.
No.
And it's like, it gets so tiring, like, and that's why it makes me go harder in defending my blackness, because society tries mm-hmm. to tear it down so much, so I'm gonna keep slapping you in the face with it.
Yeah,
you know, because y'all do enough to try to tear us down even in the age of 2020
mm-hmm.
and it's annoying.
Yeah,
so to wrap this up on a positive note,
yeah,
I want you to finish the sentence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to be black because black people are blank. So I'll say, I'm proud to be black because black people are innovative.
Mm-mm. I'm proud to be black because black people are, I have too many words.
No, it don't have to be one word.
Oh, okay. Dope and eclectic
yes.
and creative
yes.
and resilient.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Ooh, okay. Wait, what's the sentence?
I'm proud to be black because black people are.
Okay, so I'm proud to be black. My favorite word I like to use. But anyways, I'm proud to be black because black people are magical. Like, I feel
yes,
like they just make stuff happen,
we
you
do.
Know,
we
do. Without even having anything.
Everybody wants
like
to be
us. Like you
said,
they're resilient, you yeah. know.
Yes, everybody
persevere.
Wants to be us. Often
yeah.
imitated, never duplicated.
Never.
ever, ever. All right. So, you know, our listener friends, if you are listening with us and you want to chime in, please hit us up, answer the questions, you know, interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at @shenanigans_pod. Let us know why you are proud to be Black.
So thanks for joining us today. We're actually going to keep this episode at the hot topic level for this week. We really just want to focus on being Black, especially within Black History Month. And that's what we wanted. That's what we wanted to focus on for this show. But we will be back with our episode, with our segments next time. And don't be upset, but because we're having another episode next week. So
we want to give y'all too much too soon.
Right, too much too soon. So we're gonna ease back into it, but we will be back next week instead of 2 weeks from now. We'll have segments and we'll also have a special guest.
Hey, you'll like it.
So you do not want to miss out. Hopefully you enjoyed us exploring our Blackness, because we all have very different backgrounds and experiences, and we know that you do too. So definitely share those with us on social, like we said, at @shenanigans_pod on Instagram and Twitter. Join the conversations. We're going to be having some live conversations coming up soon. So definitely join those, get on our list, follow us so that you can be a part of that. And Jenny's going to close us out with a She-spiration.
Yes. Yeah, so this week's She-spiration is, don't make yourself small or try to fit into a box for someone who wouldn't be able to even fill the spaces between sentences.
Oh, thanks. Oh, snaps. We will catch y'all next week.
Peace out.
Bye.